Santo Senhor.
As before, please give rise to the Mahayana motivation of bodhicitta.
Tane ta talam yapa tartok devalam ban sanje kun ji nga kwa tang bodha zge marwa tang sanjo simba chön ju ji dak samba zo ju ji hi sanwa sun ta chike de kap so ko so mundo sanjo simba chö pa la che che de ne ko so ta tok dev ko so mundo ju man.
So now we come to the section of the text that deals with the ultimate fruition. It's on page 40. And the verse here is an aspiration that through engaging in the practice of a bodhisattva, that one will attain the fruition of that practice, which is the manifestation of the three kayas. So that's what this verse is about. And it says, through persevering in a bodhisattva's practice, may I attain the kaya praised by all the Buddhas, the luminous kaya, and the kaya blazing with majesty. Thus may my intention be fulfilled. Looking at the root verse, the second line says, may I attain the kaya praised by all the Buddhas, and that is the ultimate kaya, the Dharmakaya. The luminous, actually the root verse doesn't say kaya, it just says the luminous, and that implies a luminous kaya, and it refers to the Sambhogakaya. And blazing with majesty, that is the kaya that refers to the Nirmanakaya.
Devam, jisong de tetar, kongda kepa tetar, tambo sanju jodo simchi, pardo sanju simba chupa jamso, tabundupa pardo simba to yonso zone, parsen toga nyamne yonso zone, randung top jota, manjik by yeso. Durza takpa durza la durza le takpa la na wa om barwa nunga ta nunga te wezen ra wche bar om barwa wezer che ran gin gin ta wo tene durji chini len de pe om barwa sung bar nunga ta tunga durza durza am sim ji la na wa ze gin barwa chok tur pa ko te kosom kosom ta te tar kosom da yi nga da de ba ni Sancho simple chopa tang, Mulana, Mulana, twenty jib top de la to top de Simjin tamje Sancho lam goipen Sancho jalan and goipen tene tak tak chap, Bemi lunjan drop at the Daka tonto nearer, Kang tonto nears at the taco somre, tonto nears a Samba near the Samba.
To look at the commentary then, it says, having completely perfected in this way the six paramitas, which encapsulate or summarize the ocean of the bodhisattva's practice, and through the power of having persevered in the practice of a bodhisattva and in aspiration prayers. So this is sort of a review of the prayer itself. Well, one has first given rise to bodhicitta, supreme motivation for enlightenment so that one can benefit other beings. And then one has practiced, developed this practice through the practice of the six paramitas. And also one has persevered in this, continuing the practice of the bodhisattva and aspiration prayers. And so having done all of this, one asks that one easily attain Buddhahood itself. And that Buddhahood is endowed with the three kayas and the five types of primordial wisdom. So the text then discusses these three kayas. Praised by all the Buddhas, the ultimate Dharmakaya possesses the inconceivable qualities of freedom, of having attained that liberation, such as the ten powers and the four fearlessnesses and so forth. So this kaya, this Dharmakaya, is attained for one's own benefit. Then you have the form kayas, which are called the relative kayas, and they are the Sambhogakaya and the Nirmanakaya, and then the text talks about them. The relative form kayas, which benefit others, possess measureless qualities of full maturation, such as the major marks and the minor characteristics. The Sambhogakaya blazes with light, so the author Mendongsampa has singled out this quality of being blazing with light as being that of the Sambhogakaya. It has the very nature of radiant clarity. It is totally non-material. It doesn't consist of any material atoms, but it's made of light. It's completely made of light. Then it appears to those who are tamed, or to sentient beings who are pure. Someone has a certain purity, has to have a certain purity of vision in order to be able to see these. Then there is the Nirmanakaya, and that is blazing with majesty. That's what's referred to in the verse when it says blazing with majesty. And this appears to ordinary beings to be tamed. So having attained these, may I swiftly fulfill the intention that I am striving for. And what is that? Namely, it is the continuous and extensive or vast, spontaneous and effortless enlightened activity of bringing all beings into enlightenment.
Sompa phayong tenpa da che munlan jin jo da wa ne te tar che pa chu si chen sampa tha dan den ba phar se ru zo ji ne sap che po la ra ne ko chi sa ma so.
And then we come to the third section, which is the conclusion of the prayer itself. And it says, the root verse says, may I be like the famed Maitreya, who engaged in such a practice, perfected the paramitas, and perfectly abides at the zenith of the tenth level.
Sanse
So, there's not much explanation that's needed for this last part, so it's sort of like a reading transmission for it. And the verse, the explanation of this verse, talks about how Maitreya attained his name. So, in this way, having generated unexcelled bodhicitta, by engaging in its practice and striving to train in this most superior aspiration prayer, may I become like Maitreya, who, from the time that he first gave rise to the thought of noble loving kindness, and at that point he was known as the Gelong, or the fully ordained monk, Lodra Tempa, persevered in practicing this very prayer and thereby attained the vast samadhi of loving kindness without taking a very long time. And due to this realization, by merely stepping over the threshold of a city's gates, he caused a mind of loving kindness to arise effortlessly in all the people of that city. And in this way, he brought countless sentient beings into the samadhi of loving kindness. And therefore, from that time onward, he carried the most famous name of Maitreya, or Jampa, which means loving kindness, Maitri. Even though he had easily perfected the six paramitas countless kalpas ago and had already become truly and perfectly enlightened, Maitreya remained in the kaya of a bodhisattva at the zenith of the 10th level, which is called the cloud of Dharma, the summit where there is but one rebirth until Buddhahood. The incomparable Munindra means the powerful one, it's another name for the Buddha, placed his very own crown upon Maitreya's head, and so thereby Maitreya received the empowerment into the level of the great regent. Having totally perfected and brought to completion the purifications of Buddha fields, the full maturation of sentient beings, conduct, and aspiration prayers, he is preparing to come in this fortunate kalpa as the fifth consummate guide. Now he abides perfectly, having attained mastery over sending out inconceivable emanations, just as the Buddha. May I swiftly become like him. And then there's a lead into a quote, there's a long quote from the sutra that comes, and it says, there are reasons why this aspiration prayer is particularly superior. So, after this, there is the history of Maitreya. It doesn't need much explanation. It's something you can read in English easily. So, if we stop here, then Kadri, Shuna. Then we'll have time for questions, which you can't do at other times, whereas you can read the book at other times. So we'll have time for questions now.
If I understood correctly, when Rinpoche said one realizes the emptiness of self, then there is no self. And when there is no self, there is no other. And so that leads me to believe that would be the recognition of emptiness of phenomena. And I'm trying to understand why one needs to recognize emptiness of self and emptiness of phenomena separately.
Dagme gekor. Tene dagme top tarne.
karisa kanzak dame.
Reda tambo kanzak dame ge gor. Kanzak kanzak ki dab me tok sarne tene kanzak ki dab yomare tene jen jen yang yomare tak dang jen nika yomare. Tene kongi samala jen di gune madruba dwabo tok na tene di chuki dab me tan chiko chagi reza. Tene kari reza na tene chuki dab me tan konda kanzaki dag me dan chuki dag me nika tok kobedo kanzaki dag me tok sane tene digin sane
ten ra ore yi sentin den de ba sentin den de de sentin ma ro pa tok pa da kanzaki dag me dan yi je phumbo de me de tok pa de tar ma ye ba phumbo de me de tok pa de chu ji da me de to sentin den zen ba dan phumbo de zen ba do
Nika di
Semjin ji jeba Semjin ma dhoba dhoba Semjin da so ma dhoba dhoba de kanza gita bare kanza gita dame Yang Semjin ji jatan pungpo nga tenpar ma dhoba dhoba de chuchi dame da dame
Masa In relation to one individual It's possible to understand these two kinds of no-self, the no-self within a person and the no-self within phenomena. In relationship to the person, in terms of the verse, it's said that one does not grasp onto sentient beings as truly existent, and also that the life force is not truly existent. So, seeing that oneself and other sentient beings are not truly existent, and that is realizing that there is no self within the person. When you realize that the five skandhas are not truly existent, then that is realizing the no self of phenomena.
Kanzaka da map also the chuchi dami nihil. Pumponga de da maimbar Kanza maimban da maimbatona topichane teni Kanzaka damile. Young simki da da mandrava Pumponga deber mandrava the chuchi dami. The yeche parina tokso lache by.
So, in relation to one's own five skandhas, it's possible to realize both kinds of no-self. So what's the basis? So in this case, the basis of realizing no-self is the same, but the way one realizes it is different. One way is no-self of phenomena, and one is no-self of the person or within the person. So when one realizes that the five skandhas do not constitute a self, they don't make up an individual, that's the realization of the no-self within the individual or the person in relation to these five skandhas. One can come to that realization of no-self by seeing that the five skandhas don't constitute oneself. Then, looking at these same five skandhas again with sort of like wearing another mindset, if one says, well, these five skandhas are not connected to any self and they are not truly existent. It's this not truly existent that moves it into the category of realizing the no-self within a phenomena. That's kind of the key word for no-self within the phenomena. So in that sense, the basis for the realization is the same. We're working with the five skandhas and how we relate to them. But our way of working with them is different. And because of that, they allow the realization of the no-self in the individual or the realization of the no-self in phenomena. And you can take that same way of thinking and apply it to this flower here. The first is fairly obvious that it doesn't constitute an individual self. And the second is because, and so therefore, it is the no-self, one realizes the no-self or the person in relationship to it. And when one comes to see that it's not truly existent, then that is realizing the no-self of phenomena in relation to that flower. And in that way, looking at this second aspect of not being truly existent and therefore coming to realize that no self exists within phenomena, you can apply that to any and all phenomena. Okay?
Okay, that's it.
So, is there anyone else? Raise your hand.
Yeah. When to?
The first of your four.
Okay.
Does Tibetan Buddhism claims the possession of the ultimate truth? And if so, then everyone else who doesn't practice it, teachings are wrong and will miss the point of this lifetime?
All phenomena, no matter what they are of an equal nature. Samsara and nirvana are of an equal nature. And from this perspective of the equal nature, all sentient beings are of an equal nature. And that equal nature then would also apply to the various religious traditions as well. Ultimately, they are free of complexity or free of mental constructs. But they also are not outside of the two truths, just as any phenomena. So different religious traditions have the ultimate truth and they also have the apparent or relative truth. The difference is that in Buddhism, it's said that one needs to realize this ultimate truth or this ultimate nature of the mind. And one also has to come to understand that this apparent reality is like a mere appearance, or like a dream, or like an illusion. So if one has a dream, within that dream, there's a difference of whether one recognizes one's dreaming or one doesn't. And if one doesn't recognize one's dreaming, then one will see differences between the way things appear. If one recognizes one's dreaming, one sees the equal nature of all phenomena. But for the equal nature itself, if you put yourself in that perspective, for the equal nature itself, it doesn't make any difference. Whether you recognize the dream or whether you don't, for the equal nature remains the same. So it's like that.
Nelong tatu ka kap sa nyamni che ba re te ne kan ka nyam ba ni re nyamni yi be se na nam do le te ba re ma re ma to chu lok do kya dan ta ba do kya ta so se re te me ba na wo chi ge re nyam ba ni chi ba
you si ru do me ba
se ma do ba to ta ba ma do ba
si ro bu ge ge ba na so
で、で、けちょって、たわてんのばぽぽ、ばぱぽ、なんにけばれ。はい。まなもきぱだみけちょれ。はい。べなまなもまきな、ざんぼめばやばせややれ。もきにやばせややまれ。よたんてなどにゃみれ。れかたんてさとんにゃみれにゃみれ。てんだびけちょだとれ。まだれべちょめべとんとんのてっぺちょじゃんてらさ。
택바체종의 When one is ascertaining what the ultimate view is, or what ultimate reality, what when one is ascertaining the view of the ultimate reality, then it's explained in different ways depending upon one's level. If one has only analyzed a little bit, there's people who've analyzed a little bit and more and a lot. So those who've only analyzed a little bit, then they might still be involved in this kind of duality of thinking, oh, this the religious tradition is superior, and this was an inferior, and that was a little bit good, and that was a little bit bad, and so forth, and making all these kinds of distinctions between the different religious traditions. So that's for beginners. But when you get to the higher levels of the teachings, there's usually, or the third level that was just mentioned, then one focuses on the true nature of the mind at that point, and that within that true nature of the mind, all phenomena are of an equal nature. And one sees that the differences that one has created, making one high and one low and so forth, are differences that have come up in dependency on one's conceptualizing mind. So it's the conceptualizing mind that's made up all of these differences between the different traditions, whereas from the ultimate point of view, these do not truly exist, these differences. And again, it's similar to recognize that you're dreaming and not. If you don't recognize you're dreaming, then things are good and bad and high and low and like and not like and so forth. But if you recognize that you're dreaming, then whatever appears in your dream, whatever objects are there within your dream, they are appearance and emptiness inseparable. And whatever kind of consciousness or mind appears in your dream, that is clarity and emptiness inseparable. So, in the sense that all objects are emptiness and appearance inseparable, they are of an equal nature. And in the sense that all the minds that are appearing, all the awareness that appears within the dream is the different awarenesses that appear within the dream, they are all clarity and emptiness inseparable. So in that sense, they are of an equal nature as well. So there is two lines from Milarepa where he said one should practice that vehicle, or let's see, the supreme vehicle is the vehicle where you don't make differences of big or small. So, one should consider superior that vehicle where there are no distinctions made between large and small. Because, why is that? Well, if you make distinctions, this is great, and this is little, and this is good and bad, and so forth, among the different vehicles, it's the conceptualizing mind that's making those distinctions. And the ultimate nature of the mind transcends this kind of conceptualizing mind. So Milarepa is saying, I want the ultimate vehicle. The ultimate vehicle is that is the nature of the mind. We can either recognize that we're dreaming or not recognize that we're dreaming. If we don't recognize we're dreaming, it's sort of a claustrophobic feeling, a feeling of narrowness or tightness. And if we recognize that we're dreaming, there's a sense of spaciousness and of openness, a vastness that's there. However, for the true nature of the mind, so there's the consciousness of being either uptight or not uptight. And so there is that kind of consciousness. But if one looks at the situation from the point of the dream situation itself, then there's no difference between this being feeling constricted or feeling open and expansive. For example, one could dream of being in a nice park where you'd like to have a picnic and it's very spacious and pleasant, flowers and grass and so forth. And you could also have a dream of falling into our cesspool and making a difference or a distinction between those two depends on one's conceptualizing mind. So clean and dirty or good and bad and so forth all depend upon this discriminating mind. However, for the true nature of the dream itself, there's no difference between good and bad or clean and dirty. There's no actual material substance within the dream. There are no solid atoms that make it up. what appears in the dream is empty appearances, or appearance and emptiness, inseparable. And so what one sees as outer objects, and the way one evaluates them as good and bad and so forth, this is one's conceptualizing mind, but in reality, they're just mere appearances. They're not truly existent. And so from that point of view, from the point of view that they're a mere appearance or that they don't truly exist, they are the same. There's no difference. They're, the nature of what they are and the way that they appear is the same. And so one is able to say, because of that, there's no difference between them. So this is similar to the argument we were looking at earlier, where it said that from the perspective of the true nature of the mind itself, there is no difference between phenomena. They all have an equal nature. So one can say that from the way that things appear, this nang sul, there are differences. But the differences between the religious traditions and their views is something that's created by conceptualizing mind. And ultimately, they don't exist. Like that.
Rinpoche. I'd like to know about the different levels of non-self. Like when a great being attains realization and gets enlightened, there is still, you know, some part of a personality trait or characteristic left that is, you know, not all emptiness. Like when somebody gets enlightened, he doesn't go back into the big, you know, one, you know, soup or one big place.
He's still,
there you go. So I wonder, how does this, you know, that we keep our personality traits, how does that fit into that? And at the end, everything is empty. There is no self. Mm-hmm. But there is like a little part of
us. The Dagme Yangikor, Sido. Dagme. Dagme Gikor, Sido. Then a Micheki Sang Jene. Then a Dagme Topna, Tenny Sang Jigiri. Tenny Sang Jigiri. Yeni Yang Midi, Dagme Top. Top Sarne, Yini Yang, Rangi Shika, Womagi Yuntin Drabo, Yang Yore, Rala Tene, Tongbani Tope Gimi, Kanga Chikpa Chagi Mare, Konso Kanga, Rangi Shika Drabo Yore, Tene, Di Kanyena, Sanga Tangere, Karesna Tene, Dagme Togna Tene, Tag Yomare, Yini Yang, Dagme Tog. Dagme top sarbe gimi di zola yang rangi shika rangi yunten rangi ta rangi yunten drabo yore la
rebe
seguido
re dami ta kanzak dami kanzak dami to anasam gede mare kanzak dami to nyom momba se na da chambe devo to bare ta chuja Sanje to Koban Tobala, Chu Tamje Tombanieto, De Ninje Dang Mandena Ninje the Deru Sanju Sebe Jebam, Yimbi Jebam, Maja Natonia Kone Sanje Mutabare, Tangotejo.
So, this is a gradual answer to your question. It's the first part of it. Within the Mahayana understanding, realization does not just consist of realizing the no-self within a person or the no-self of the individual. That is more the type of realization one finds in the Sravakayana, where one extinguishes all kleshas, all afflicting mental states, and through that one attains the level of an arhat. In the Mahayana, realization or enlightenment means that one has realized all phenomena to be empty. And in addition to that, if one has not developed one's compassion along the Bodhisattva's path, one's desire to help all sentient beings, then one will not attain enlightenment. In the Mahayana, once one has given rise to the mind of bodhicitta, and then one develops one's compassion, one's desire to help other sentient beings who are practicing the six paramitas and practices the accumulation of merit. So when we're on the first path, the path of accumulation, then we are accumulating this merit. We study emptiness at that point, try and find out what it is. And through this study, we develop certainty or conviction about what it is. And one really isn't practicing meditation on emptiness itself. And one does this for a long time. Then one comes to the path of union or conjunction. And at that, after practicing that for a very long time, So, through having done this practice and through having made these accumulations, then there is a special kind of experience that happens from meditation. It's a meditation experience. And that when that experience arises, that moves you into this path of junction. And one practices that for a very long time, and all of these have stages in them and so forth, which you're probably familiar with. And then one comes, when one realizes emptiness, that is the path of seeing. And after that, there are the 10 levels. And I forgot to mention, while one's on the path of union, that the second path, one is also practicing and accumulating merit. Then once one has entered the level of the levels of the Bodhisattva through this realization of emptiness, one continues to accumulate merit in the post-meditation phase. One rests in meditation, and then one in the post-meditation phase benefits beings, though one continues to accumulate this activity of accumulating merit. And then one comes this way progressively to the 10th level, and through the final samadhi there, one passes into the level of Buddhahood. And it's said that in the Mahayana, it's said that one practices in this way for 37 countless kalpas. So this is a long time. It's not something that's so easy to attain. In the Vajrayana, it said, of course, there's one contain and attain enlightenment in one body and one life. But the Bodhisattva's path is a longer path. Bodhisattvas enjoy taking rebirth in samsara. They like this activity. They wish to help all sentient beings attain the level of Buddhahood. And there are these three different kinds of Bodhisattva aspiration. The highest is that of the shepherd that wishes for all sentient beings to enter into enlightenment first, ahead of them. And then when they've seen that absolutely everybody has made it, there's nobody left behind, then they will become enlightened. And then there's the ferryman, or woman, the ferry person, the one who's rowing the boat. And they go along with people. It's like you go together towards enlightenment. So it's sort of at the same time. And then there is the lower kind of generating of bodhicitta, which is that is like the king. And the king's idea is, well, I'll get there first, and then I'll bring everybody else along after me. So those are the different levels. And practicing along them, well, it takes a very long time. But for them, for bodhisattvas, it doesn't make any difference because they've been able to see, to realize that all phenomena are like an illusion. And so they see apparent reality as being like an illusion or like a dream. And so they not only do they not fear suffering, they actually enjoy suffering. They wish to have that experience of suffering.
Sungjok drop seva chile, sungjok tela, lope sungjok tam, lope sungjok mire, Lobe Sangyo Pe Dorje Tepe Lola, Dene Le Nandong Jomantawa, Le La Denyin Se, Le Nandong Jomantawa Chor, Jatmontawa Chor, Sem Jetroba was at the Se, Jomantawa Lutawa was at the Se, Sem Ni Songdojo, Songdojo Bakaps at the Ne Songyo Segre. Lopez and Jog Tom Natane Rang Torba Jata, Jig Twitch, La Torba Jato, Topa, Sanjay, Janga Jal and Rotopa. The name Sanjay Jay can Java Lasopa. Somebody, then Rabu, the name Torba Jalasopa, Torba Jonte, Sanjay, Janga Jalasopa and Ro. The name Simjinja Tonsa, Sunam Jetsosa, Yang Yambarija, Jetop to Tosa. Don't say the tartar, but you will all the carpa mambut over it. Then they tied up some joke tarsene, then they malop some joke say jete, tijiso, such a jinja tamani, malop some joke over it. Theta lopus some joke, the malop some jinile, Dorje tepelola, lopus some joke, to do young, when they malop some joke, Sanjay to combat topa drive, it's a mambu over it.
Lope,
don't you take a lope some joke? Lope some joke, Malab Songjok Thapan Rabe Chek Pejo Tangare. Pena Jalun Romna Sang Jaya Songre Segre. Jalun Rabha Chancha Sang Jaya Yomare Yena Yang Jalun Rabha Tane Chetanga Khechala Jalun Rabha La Sang Jaya Songre Thanye Tewa. Sang Mane Jepa La Tarong Govudu. Jalun Rabha Chancha Sang Jaya Yomare. Satangbo Thutu Yang Then they learn just one tower chord, same gentle passe, some joke controversy, and come and wrote the bachelor the same, when a son jay yomar. In a he told La Tanya, he told La Jazun Dubdu, then the Jazun Dub the San Jay someone is what they drive Tanya Mambo Pichu Tangri. The young Jabber said, Rumi,
maybe some duty. Santiago Gopan Toba than Chipper Villa. Nilope,
Nilope Sundu, Lopez Sundu, then Papa Satan, wouldn't you?
Villa.
Then you sat your bed over.
So
Lopes said that Yanja Lana loved the Gondo Priay.
No.
Malup Sundu said that any lawyer.
Consent Chambo. So there are. Different kinds of union that are spoken of. The union where there is still learning and the union where there is no more learning. So if one speaks first about the union where there is learning, when one is practicing this, one comes to realize that one's body is appearance and emptiness inseparable. And this is through realizing that it's not truly existent. One's clinging to the true existence of the body dissolves. And so through that, one realizes one's body to be emptiness and appearance inseparable, or to be like a rainbow. Then one's mind, these are the two things that are talked about, body and mind here, the union refers to those two. The mind's delusions are dissolved into radiant clarity. And then because the body is like a rainbow and the mind is radiant clarity, the two can be joined in union. They're both sort of in their light nature. And if one attains this union where there is still learning, then one is able to send out 100 emanations. One can go to 100 different Pure Lands, meet 100 different Buddhas, and so forth. So this kind of bodhisattva would do this, and then through sending out emanations and so forth, benefit beings, go to the Buddha lands, take teachings and so forth, and then they would rest in meditative equipoise, and then they would also, sort of in their post-meditation phase, they would again benefit sentient beings. So it's the same kind of alternation of sessions and breaks. It's just on a very much higher level. And in this way, one moves up from the first bodhisattva level to the tenth. And when that process is perfected, one then arrives at the level of Buddhahood, or the level of union where there is no more learning. So that's sort of the situation. There are these two kinds of union, one with learning and one without learning. In the Vajrayana tradition, one often finds words that would pertain to this first kind of union applied to the second. So you would have a situation where realizing a rainbow body, realizing one's body to be like a rainbow, which we saw was what one does at this level of where there's more learning to be done, is sometimes said to be enlightenment. But it's not really so. As we saw, when you realize your body not to be truly existent, to be like a rainbow, you also realize that the illusions in your mind or delusions in your mind have been dissolved into radiant clarity. That union comes about, and it allows you to go to different pure lands and to help sentient beings. But that is not the same as attaining enlightenment. You've got a lot more to do after that. But sometimes within the Vajrayana you'll find certain statements that seem to equate these two kinds of union, one with union where there's learning and one where there's no more learning or the level of Buddhahood or enlightenment. When it's said that the attainment of a rainbow body is the same as attaining the level of enlightenment or the Buddha, this is a teaching that is given to those who follow a path of faith, those who relate to practice more through faith. And this is enough for them. They say, okay, if that's the way it is, I believe it, and they do their practice, and that's okay. If one makes this kind of distinction between the union with learning and without learning, that kind of teaching and all that follows with it is related to those who follow a path that more involves prajna, that involves making distinctions. What is the path with learning and without learning? What is the reason for why they are distinguished one from the other, and how do we go about it? Lots of questions and making distinctions and so forth. So these two teachings are given basically for two different types of people.
These ones.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a way.
Does someone who hasn't asked a question have a question?
Yeah.
Hold on a minute.
Rinpoche, if there is no self, then what continues from one lifetime to another? And how is it that there is sometimes memory from one life to another? In most beings, that doesn't happen, but certain ones, like His Holiness, we hear that he had memories from lifetime to lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And also there's karmic effects
mm-hmm.
that continue for all of us. So how does that happen?
Mm-hmm. Tak, yangja tak megi kor. Tagmegi kor tene tagme yena
tene
tagme bayena tagme bayena tene tse chik ne tse jendala kare pogire tene ti yang ti kare damote tene nibade tagme bayena tene kare is na ranso tse nguma ten to kire ranso dabo me yena karmapa yishinobu karmapa tse ngama tendo gire. Tene tak me yena tene kanda se tse ngama tendo gire. Tene sumba de namba sumi yore. Tene tak me yena le kanda se tse chikne tse jena la nando to gire.
Dambo
Kewa napse talme yena tene se chik ne se jena la chik dogi insre. Tene di kare kain na.
Dambo te si.
Rila.
Dame ba tang tiwa ngapse yoba ni den gara mare. Tiwa ngapse ya pa te. Tendan chuzi je dame ba tang tongba ni le che pa ma ze pa. Kunzo to tene nan sor tan tende. เจ้าบังหาสิเก็บอะไรเป็นน้ำล้างงูมาเก็บมาล้างงูมาเก็บนะเป็นเดี๋ยวว่าแต่ตรงนั้นแต่สุดสุดเสียอยู่เลยเทียนเราหูมาตามาเจ็บกับสุดมาตามาเจ็บสิจะเตะดามแม่ป่าตันตรงบ้านนี้จะเจ็บป่ามาเจ็บป่าเนื้อลูกละเจ็บป่ามาเจ็บป่าชุดชุดจะวางดูเสียนะมาสู้ว่าล่ะขวบชุดชุดจะวางดูเสียนะเดี๋ยวนี้เจ้าบังหาสิตันเลยจุดเด็ดสิเก็บอะไร ดามแม่ป่าตันตรงบ้านนี้เตะดามมะลามจะเนื้อลูกเจ็บปั่นเราเลยเนื้อลูกก็วางตัวเสียนะดามแม่ป่าตันตรงบ้านนี้เจ็บอะไรที่เขี่ยชดข้ากันเลยเจ็บบางอาบสิเละจมเรตเตะมะลามงอมาขี้ปัตตาบันนั่นชดจะวางตัวเสียนะเรน่ะดามแม่ป่าตันตรงบ้านนี้เตะมะลามงอขี้ปัตตาบันเนื้อชดจะวางตัวเสียนะเจ็บอะไรเนื้อลูกก็เจ็บอะไรที่นี่เดี๋ยวยังกันกันมา
ทีนี้ดีทักเชมาเจ็บอ่ะทีนี้นี่พอดีทักเชมังบูจุนจุนเซจ็บจุนเซจ็บแต่ผมไม่รู้ละมาตามาเจ็บกับเขาเจ็บบางอาบสิเลยจุนได้ยาวไปแต่รับตามพอมาตามาเจ็บกับเขาเลยเลยรับตัวนี้นี่เลยเดินเลยที่จีเซนจุนเซจ็บอ่ะดามแม่ป่าตันตรงบ้านนี้ละเจ็บอะไรนะสู้ขี้นี่เจ็บอ่ะแต่ตอนนี้ยามนี้ตั้งจุดบัตรทำเจ็ดตัวจ้าก่อน
ตัวนี้เลยเห็นได้เจ็บอะไรเห็นได้เจ็บนะตัวนี้ยังมาดูปัตตานีตัวจ้าตัวปัตตานีอะไรโอ้ไม่รู้นะรับผิดชอบไหมนะสู้เดี๋ยวนั้นตาเลยจุดเด็ดเจ็บบางอาบสิยาบัดเดมาตามาเจ็บเป็นนานสุดแต่ตัวนี้เจ็บอะไรนะสู้
One can divide the understanding of it into three levels. One, when one hasn't done any analysis or examination or analysis. One, when one has done a little bit of examination and analysis. And one, when one is really profoundly and completely examined and analyzed. So, on this first level, where one hasn't analyzed or hasn't examined, one hasn't engage this mind that analyzes for the ultimate nature of the mind. And because one hasn't done that, then one is sort of caught by the way things appear. One thinks they are the way they appear, and one is caught by apparent reality or relative reality. And so one sees differences between things, between before and after, and bliss and emptiness and so forth. And that's similar to not recognizing your dream. And at that point, one doesn't understand how one has become deluded into samsara. Then when one is analyzed a little bit, no self or emptiness, one has then engaged this kind of analysis, analyzing mind that looks into the true nature of the mind, looks for the true nature of the mind. And then we've moved in from the way things seem to appear to the way things really are. And one begins to understand and have some experience of what no self and emptiness is. And this is similar to recognizing that one is dreaming. And when one has analyzed completely, come to this third level, then one Rumchi the sumbadi nyambadi di tok tok kiribe.
Tama sa tene tar tok tropa da to. Tar tok. Tongba yang ma
do. Di tawa tama ma do mundo ka.
Tawa.
So
at tawa re tokba yang ma.
Naso.
Tawa kap sa tura tin le pe. Ngomba kap sa tura ngon sa.
So then when one gets to this third level, what one's dealing with there is the equal nature of all phenomena, that the true nature of all phenomena are free of any kind of mental constructs. And at this level then one knows, one doesn't even get caught by the concept of emptiness. One knows that emptiness itself is also not truly existent. So one has a view that's like this, and one is also engaging in the meditation. So there are these three different levels in relation to working with no self or emptiness. Rila tini the Murangi Sangha Chikina Ze Chik Shepa Sewa Chikne Shewa Jenala Drogi in Sare Karesna Tini Sengoma Trentukide Tini Yang Le Yang Se Chikne Se Jendala
Jetang Dada Yavangamani Deron Dini Saman Rovati Tanda Jesu Tambukapsare Mata Maja Bukapsare Tandam Jepa Mangovare Jevangapsan Royatia
This explanation that divides things into three levels of deepening analysis belongs to the Madhyamaka tradition. And this, so it's this first level where one has not analyzed that this teaching is given about previous and future lives. There is the idea then that there is a continuum of the mind, or if within a belief system that accepts the existence of the alaya vijnana or the all-based consciousness, then that is sometimes posited. And if one doesn't accept the eight different kinds of consciousness, then it's said that it is the mere clarity of the mind. And so there are different ways of understanding what it is that goes from one life to the next and so forth. But this type of understanding is only on this first level where there hasn't been analysis done in relationship to the true nature of the mind. And so that was in response to the first part of the question you gave. Then the second, I divided it into three parts. One having to do what goes to past and future lives, which we just looked at. And then the next one about remembering past lives, and then the next section about karma, what goes. So in relation to this question about remembering past lives that certain beings such as the Karmapa can, that sort of falls into the category of what is inconceivable or beyond the mind of an ordinary people. The Bodhisattva's activities, such as being able to remember their past lives, having precognitions and so forth, this is something that if we're sort of staying in our ordinary conceptualizing discriminating minds, it's not something that can be understood. The Buddhists and the Bodhisattvas are said to have precognition. They can know, and also, well, what we looked at here in this text, the extraordinary faculties, so they can know where they were born in past lives, where they'll be born in future lives. They also know the present. They're said to have the knowledge of the three times. But we can understand that knowledge only through inference, through seeing sort of the results of it and then guessing, well, that's what's happened. But we can't really know how they know. Their mode of knowing is something we can't know. We can sort of know maybe the results of this kind of activity, but we can't actually know how it is that they do know the past or the future or the present.
Tanda mepa nupo latte de mepa latte and mepa latte de donga jonso de kade jonso setena ranking yam yonga taketa and hako to go yamare. In a yamam palasan no town atene donga yoga yam yong te rana yobare. In a te kade se chega do yang sanjimatavia.
Maumba,
really? Maumba yamara. Maumba yamare, telatina donga kade se chega do tana ni matapa. Sanjima
If we look at our own experience and we reflect on how we think about the future, so we may have experienced suffering in the present. Say we have had the experience of suffering in the present, but how suffering might arise in the future, we can't know. The future has not yet arisen. It's not here yet. It's a non-existent thing. And on the basis of a non-existent thing, how could you possibly know how suffering would arise? So you can't really tell. So what will arise in the future is inconceivable. It's beyond the limits of our own mind. But we can know, we know that, you know, suffering has arisen. We've had a future time, arrived at it, and experienced suffering. But that future time has become the present, and so we've, you know, in the present been able to experience that suffering. But trying to project into the future and figure out how suffering might arise or how it might possibly come and so forth, we can't know. It's beyond the limit or beyond the range of our own mind. And like that, are all future phenomena and many of the things that Buddhists and Bodhisattvas are able to do. It's without, beyond the ken of our own mental faculties.
Basically.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Wayne.
Does anyone else have a question?
That is just awesome.
Agenda.
Yeah.
Oh, corner yet.
Corner. Corner.
Within this relative deluded reality, what about plants as far as sentient being goes? Plants, I don't think they're classified as sentient beings,
mm-hmm.
nor are they, but they're not rocks, or they, how do they fit into a classification?
Mm-hmm.
Or through Buddhism?
Tsa kikor karishukido rela semchen yorawala kunzo ki chikten dila semchen yore teni yang do yore vi yore teni tsa rago teni shing dang tsa dang meto kirawala kiewe sabun le kiewe motel dang teni dikor dik mikashi ki semchen rago tsegiro rawala Tene kongi didabo shuma songin ya chitang shindan metok ta didabo dikor kandase sama tango mido
nambe dola niti je dola sirir je nama te tene le je nama re le nang re yang sirir de denbar yang yore sidon denbar khe lembar re Tela ten de deva donga chevate, lela raleva. Nintu jolo. Semtan jalola, siru janamande, mene siru de debar mato bare, malam jendo, pakya kentronar. Tene ome lola, kunduto, siru janamana, soba de jiji tender, to san janamade. Malam tava jujin tente tso tsa janama. Malam tava. Chananga dava tava re. Tong tava nenu ngoma te. Tene tongpa nye re. Tongpa te an thar tong na. Yuemi trepa le. Deba le. Ti som re tong ha?
Leo. Tsum yue.
Tene nambu lo la yang sem yuemi te chetang. Hien la so pa. Sem jin te duga ma re. Ina yang. Kheng ta me to so la, zumi ji sem jin, ting jie pa, de la tsam tsa ne par ne par. Kheng dong ta, la so pa la, ne te rang ke lu nang yin jie chun nang xia ge yu se do. Yina yang, wane kheng ta me to sem jin ta mu do pa, zumi ji sem jin ten, tsam tsa ten pa ya pa ten ra wan de par.
La so. Mi ma yin pa ke.
Mamai, tene kingdom data, tara chimbo da, gandala lande yabata, kingdom la, tene de la sopa yabata, tena udugre.
Lasa.
Te ina yang chitang, kingdang jonga, same thing to the gumar, same nepandabar.
So, to look at this from the broad perspective first, from the category of just outer phenomena in general, how we relate to outer phenomena. In the Saravaka tradition, it said that outer phenomena, what appears to us as outer phenomena, are appearances that arise out of our karma. And that on the and they also say that these outer phenomena are truly existent. And on the basis of these, then we experience various sufferings and various happiness. So, and the suffering and the happiness that we experience in relation to these outer objects depends on our karma. So that's the understanding of the Sravakayana. In the Chittamatra school, the mind-only school, outer phenomena are understood to be like a dream, that they are the delusive appearances arising out of the habitual mental patterns within our own mind stream. When we come to the Madhyamaka understanding, they say then that on the level of apparent reality, all phenomena are the result of the gathering together of various causes and conditions. And that from the perspective of ultimate reality, they are free of all mental constructs or free of all complexity. And that is emptiness. So that is their ultimate understanding of emptiness is being free of any kind of thing you could posit about a phenomenon's existence or non-existence and so forth, and even in relation to emptiness itself. So there's an absence of all of that kind of mental activity. So that's the general background for outer objects. Then if one comes to the question of whether something like in the landscape might have mind or not, whether trees and grasses and so forth or flowers might have mind or not, well, in general, the Buddhist way of looking at things says that trees and grass and so forth do not have mind. But it's possible that a formless being, there's a belief in formless beings, that a formless being might have taken a tree, for example, as their support, literally. And so this is a place where they would then abide. Rinpoche Shingdi Khonso Rangi Lugi Trupa Drabo Am Khonso Gi Lu Shing Nangla Rugi Re.
And
so these formless beings could be like a being that's stuck or wandering in the bardo and so forth. And those beings' consciousness could enter into the tree. And so in that sense, they're taking the form of the tree as a support. They're formless, so they take this form of the tree as a support. So in that sense, you could have a tree that has a consciousness. It's not the tree's consciousness, but it's another being's consciousness that's come in to the tree. So, you wouldn't say that the tree itself has consciousness, but it can be a place where another consciousness resides. And in the same way, it's said that in the Rocky Mountains or in the Snowy Mountains that there are also beings that can reside. It's sometimes said that there are ghosts that are staying within trees and so forth. But in general, Buddhism wouldn't say that there are that trees and grasses and so forth, that flowers have consciousness.
So
in Tibet it said that there's some, not all trees, but just some very particular special trees. It said sometimes blood comes from them, sometimes you can hear them talking. And the people see this and they say, oh, well, a ghost has entered into this tree. And they don't cut it down or then they just leave it. And so this then is possible, that a formless being has entered into the tree and that tree has become its body. It's like its own body. So there's a place near where Rinpoche grew up, and there's a story about one mountain there, a rocky mountain that had a particular shape, and at the base of it, yeah, it wasn't a very big one. And at the base of it was a large spring. And around that large spring were growing juniper trees. And so juniper trees are used, you know, for incense and for offering to Tibet. So someone came and they cut one of these juniper trees, and the tree was saying, ouch! Atsatsa, which you say in Tibetan when you're hurt, you know, if you burn yourself or something, you say atsatsa. So the tree was saying atsatsa. And their blood came out of it and so forth. So the person was, of course, rather terrified, and related the story. And ever since then, those trees, not only those trees, but the rest of the trees in this small mountain were not cut. And so that's another reason to sort of understand that the delusive appearances of the mind are just inconceivable. So we'll leave it at that.
Dāme pātāṁ tōṁpa nīṁ gōṁ Tāni jāse sāñjū sāmpa pārūta nyamnī pārūta sāmpa tōga yīmhī jī jyōpa pārūta sāmpa tōga nyamnī sāyate thār kusumī hī ngā yidā nī sāñjī jī gōmpa tōte thā yēpa sīmjī nāna pāmpa jāja mūtīmā gōna.
So Rinpoche makes the aspiration prayer for you that following the pattern of this prayer that you will give rise to the supreme motivation of bodhicitta, that you will meditate on no self and emptiness, that you will benefit many beings through the practice of the six paramitas, and that through all of this you will attain the fruition of the practice, which is being endowed with the three kayas and the five wisdoms, and that through that your activities will benefit limitless numbers of beings. So in brief, to make it, to state it simply and easy to understand, in the Buddhist tradition then, Buddhahood or enlightenment, becoming fully awakened, is understood under two aspects. One is that one has brought to complete perfection the prajna that realizes no self, and the other is that one has brought to complete perfection compassion. And with those two being perfected, then one attains enlightenment. So why is it that we need to attain enlightenment or awakening? And that's that through bringing to perfection or bringing to its ultimate compassion, then one is motivated, one moves out to benefit limitless sentient beings with this perfect, great compassion. And through bringing prajna to its ultimate, one knows then how one should benefit beings. One is able to devise many different kinds of skillful means in order to be able to help sentient beings. So we'll chant this one last time in English. It's on page 13.
I prostrate to all the Buddhas and to the Bodhisattvas endowed with the divine eye of the sages, and to the Shravakas as well. I prostrate to bodhicitta, which counteracts birth in all lower realms, perfectly shows the path to the higher realms, and leads leads to no aging or death. Whatever negative actions I have done under the influence of an afflicted mind, in the presence of the Buddhas, I fully acknowledge them all. By the accumulation of any merit I have created through the three kinds of activities, may my seed of omniscience grow, and may I attain awakening that never ends. Whatever offerings to the Buddhas that can be found in realms of the ten directions are known to the Buddhas who rejoice in them. I rejoice in all these offerings. I fully acknowledge all negative actions and rejoice in all merit. I prostrate to all the Buddhas. May I attain supreme primordial wisdom. I earnestly request the Bodhisattvas who reside on the ten levels in all the directions of the worlds in the ten directions to awaken into supreme enlightenment. Once you have awakened into genuine enlightenment and tamed the Maras and their hordes, may you turn the wheel of Dharma so that all living beings may be healed. With the sound of the great Dharma drum, may you free all sentient beings who are suffering. Throughout inconceivable millions of kalpas, may you remain and teach the Dharma. Mired in the swamp of desire, entangled in the strands of cyclic existence, I am fettered by all that binds. I supplicate those supreme among humans to look upon me. The Buddhas do not blame sentient beings who are flawed. With a loving heart for all sentient beings, may the Buddhas free them from the ocean of cyclic existence. Any perfect Buddhas who are present, those who have passed away and those yet to come, may I train following in their way and engage in enlightened conduct. Having perfected the six paramitas, may I liberate the six families of sentient beings. Having actualized the six extraordinary faculties, may I reach unexcelled enlightenment. Future phenomena are not born and those past will not occur. Present phenomena have no inherent nature. There is no actual location. There is no perception. There are no outer things. May I realize the Dharma Dhatu which is empty. According to the Buddhas, the great sages, there are no truly existent sentient beings nor life force. There is no truly existent individual and no nurturing of a self. May I realize the Dharma Tava, the self is not present. And entity such as grasping onto a self and mind is not present within any of the paramitas. To benefit all sentient beings, may I give with generosity free of avarice. Since things do not exist as things, may my wealth appear spontaneously. Since all things totally disintegrate, may I perfect the paramita of generosity, endowed with the flawless ethics that is guided by rules, and an ethics that is completely pure, with an ethics free of an arrogant mind. May I perfect the paramita of ethics, just as the elements of earth, water, fire, and wind, bodhisattvas, do not remain caught by mental constructs. By attaining patience, anger never arises. May I perfect the paramita of patience through the power of previous perseverance, having become stable, enthusiastic, and free of laziness, and through a strong body and mind. May I perfect the paramita of perseverance through the samadhi where all is illusion-like, through the samadhi of the hero's stride, and through the samadhi that is like a vajra. May I perfect the paramita of meditative concentration through actualizing the three gates of full liberation, the equal nature of the three times, and the three types of knowing as well. May I perfect the paramita of prajna through persevering in a bodhisattva's practice. May I attain the Kaya praised by all the Buddhas, the luminous Kaya, the Kaya blazing with majesty. Thus may my intention be fulfilled. May I be like the famed Maitreya, who engaged in such a practice, perfected the paramitas, and perfectly abides at the zenith of the 10th level.
Devande Jehu.